This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Audio Journal's reading of Yankee Magazine. You'll hear stories about the people and places that make New England special. Mountains, farmland, salty seacoasts, history, sports teams, universities, cultural attractions, and more. This is Naomi. I'll be reading from the May-June issue of Yankee Magazine. Thank you for joining me. First, I'll describe the cover of the magazine. It says Yankee Travel Guide. It's the travel issue, Guide to New England. 170 plus editors' picks, all new for 2026. Also, it lists some of the articles that will be included. 15 seafood shacks worth their salt. 23 retro cool road trip destinations, and 12 getaways for students at heart. A description of what's on the cover is, it's a photo of two people in kayaks on a pond. And in the magazine it writes, at the New England Outdoor Center in Millinocket, Maine, kayakers head out onto Millinocket Lake with Mount Katahdin rising in the distance. And that was a photograph by Kate Borgo. The table of contents. On page 55, it's called Best of New England. We know why the world loves New England. These six states have it all. Wilderness, city lights, islands, mountains, art, history. But we never get tired of sharing why we love it, too. So come along as we shine our annual spotlight on this region's best places to eat, stay, and play. And find more than 170 fresh ideas for your next great escape to New England. One of the feature articles is on page 22, True North. New England photographer Kate Borgo didn't need to travel the world to find her muse. It was right there in her own backyard. On page 34, Shack Mix. Whether famed for lobster, clams, or anything in between, these seafood shacks are on the water scenic and off the charts tasty. There's a bonus. Get Yankee's recipes for three casual seafood classics to make at home. And that article's by Amy Traverso. Page 46, It's a Mod World. How mid-century modern pioneers paved the way for the coolest architecture crawl in New England. And that article is by Madeline Billis. On page 14, Pop Stars. You may know Moxie, but don't miss a chance to sip these other New England crafted sodas, too. That article is by Courtney Hollins. On page 16, Peak Perfection. These tough love 4,000 footers invite outdoorsy travelers to level up and enjoy the view. That article is by Peter Andre Smith. Page 20. Play of the Land, a mixtape of songs made for cruising New England. Some fast, some slow, a few are new, but the rest you know. By Justin Shotwell. And on page 120, Learning Potential. A dozen ideas for education vacations that let you bring home some savvy instead of just souvenirs. By Courtney Hollins. Behind the scenes welcome. It was while filming for the current season of Weekends with Yankee last October when I first met the town of Norway, Maine. We were on a tight schedule, but I had enough time to clock the presence of a homey bakery cafe called Cafe Nomad, an inspired knitting and wine shop called Fiber and Vine, and a storefront filled with smartly curated Maine-themed gifts and decor. The store is called the Woods Main. Heading out of town, I saw pristine lakes and easy-to-hike mountains with sweeping views. I've spent nearly two decades working at Yankee, 10 years making the show, and most of my life in New England. How had I not known this place before? New England may be geographically compact, but its ability to surprise and delight never fails. This sense of discovery is my favorite cure for boredom, for burnout, and even for a sagging spirit. In this way, travel is more than a vacation or a frivolity. It's sustenance for the soul. This issue, our annual travel guide to New England, provides you with a virtual ramble through our beloved region and a map to its treasures, old and new. For example, there's a recently debuted Camp DeForest in Lincolnville, Maine, where you can live out your summer camp dreams, lawn games, campfires, and all, in a stylishly renovated motor lodge. Boston's new Elephantine is a cafe where every detail brings to life the fantasy of being in Paris. And in South Kingstown, Rhode Island, the greenhouses and gardens at the Farmer's Daughter invite even non-gardeners to daydream amid a stunning and diverse array of plants. You'll find these gems and so many more in Best of New England, beginning on page 55. In addition, I share my list of the best waterfront seafood shacks in New England on page 34. And did you know that the perennial chic design style known as mid-century modern has roots in this region? We've got that story too, complete with a list of places that channel retro cool. Have we inspired you yet? Keep turning the pages. And that was written by Amy Traverso, the senior food editor and Weekends with Yankee host. The contributors in this issue are Jeff Rogers. For the playful artwork in our Best of New England package, we called on this Dallas-based designer, a specialist in illustrative lettering, whose clients include major media outlets and corporations. Having once lived in the Northeast for a decade, Rogers shares, "I find myself often craving a Maine lobster roll. Not a lot of comparable options down here in Texas." The next contributor is Madeline Billis, a freelance writer whose work has appeared in Condé Nast Traveler and Architectural Digest. Among others, Billis makes her home in Newton Corner, Massachusetts, where she's filled her apartment with mid-century furniture and art. So naturally, while writing It's a Mod World, Billis made time to stop shop for herself at one of her recommended mid-century stops, Refill Vintage in Connecticut. Peter Andre Smith. Although he prefers biking, descents are faster and easier on the knees. This Maine-based journalist enjoys tagging along on hikes with friends who work for the Appalachian Mountain Club, which made him an ideal pick to write about lesser-known and destination trails for the avid hiker. Smith's writing has also appeared in the New York Times and Outside. Kate Borgo, diving deep into her archives to select for True North, Borgo found herself reflecting on her journey as a professional photographer. "I never imagined that I would be able to experience everything seen in this photo essay," says the Norway, Maine resident. "It has truly shaped my life, reminding me to slow down, to look around, and really notice all the in-between moments." The first article I'm going to read is called North. New England photographer Kate Borgo didn't need to travel the world to find her muse. It was right here in her own backyard. In the fall of 2009, Kate Borgo was just a few weeks into her freshman year at the University of Southern Maine in Portland when a teacher pulled her aside one day after class. With him was a collection of images she had made for his intro to photography course, and he was floored by how good they were. He asked me point blank, "Why aren't you pursuing photography?" she remembers. It stopped me dead in my tracks. I didn't have an answer, but he was like, "You have it. This should be what you do with your life." In a way, it had been. Borgo grew up near Bangor, guided by a mother who passed down her own love for taking pictures. Home life, pets, friends. Borgo frequently had a camera in hand to document anything and everything around her. For me, a kid who was pretty shy, it was a way to connect with people and learn about the world, she says. Though Borgo had developed a quiet confidence in her skills, that conversation with her teacher transformed what she believed was possible for herself. Not long after, she left the university and enrolled at Portland's renowned Salt Institute for Documentary Studies. Soon, she was a working photographer, shooting weddings and making images of the Grand Lakes landscapes that have come to define her work. At her core, Borgo is a New England adventurer, an avid hiker and backcountry skier. She lives with her young daughter, Fiona, on a 100-acre property in the middle of Maine's White Mountains region. Nearly two decades into her career, Borgo has both remained close to home and made it the focus of her photography. "I know I'm biased, but I don't think there's any other place like it," says Borgo, whose images have not only appeared in publications such as this one, but also led to collaborations with L.L. Bean and the Appalachian Mountain Club, among others. You can be on the most beautiful rocky coastline, and then within a couple of hours be on top of some mountain with the most breathtaking views. A lot of the work I've done is showing just how proud I am of where I come from. I'm going to read the captions from some of the photographs taken by Kate Borgo. On the previous spread, near the top of the list of Borgo's favorite photography locations is the Appalachian Mountain Club's Gorman Chairback Lodge and Cabins in Greenville, Maine. "It's total wilderness," she said. "There's no cell service, so it's easy to disconnect." She captured this photo on Long Pond early one morning after a pre-dawn moose safari had come up empty. "You set out for one thing, and nature gives you something else," she says. Another photograph description. Borgo doesn't work much at night, but while on location for a shoot in New Hampshire's Great North Woods, she found it impossible to pass up on the scene enveloping the tent where she was staying, even though she wasn't entirely prepared. "I didn't have a tripod, so I set up my camera on a stump, held my breath, and hoped for the best." Next is a description of a photograph. It's a cabin in the woods with sunlight filtering through. "Much of a landscape photographer's work is in the pursuit of fleeting early morning and late day moments when the light is just right. While at times it can feel like an impossible task, occasionally the scenes appear as if by magic." That's the way it was for Borgo when she was walking through the woods a mere half hour after making the Long Pond image. The fog and light mixed with cabin wood smoke illuminating the forest is in such a magical way. She says, it was a reminder of how lucky I am to call Maine my home. Another photograph description. There's a bike rider with a child on the front of the bike, and they're riding through a field. Tagging along with Borgo on many assignments is a trusty assistant, her young daughter Fiona. After shooting this cycling scene at Northern Vermont's mountain biking mecca, Kingdom Trails, Borgo hopped on a bike herself with Fiona along for the ride. Photography brings us to quiet places where I can slow down, be present, and see the world as she does. I feel like a kid again, which has helped me find new ways to document the world. It can be challenging for even a native New Englander to find new ways to photograph fall foliage. But Borgo discovered something special in 2020 when she climbed a fire tower in Burke, Vermont. There was all that color, obviously, but then the clouds rolled in and that undercast settled above the trees. She says, together, it gave me something unexpected. While working through her shot list at the New England Outdoor Center in Millinocket, Maine, Borgo drifted in her kayak as she searched for an image that illustrated summer's essence. The dock was empty except for a few kids who'd wandered over to watch me, she recalls. I asked if they wanted to jump for a photo. What could be more summer than that? It reminded me that sometimes the best shots aren't actually on the list. And that is a photograph of some kids jumping off a dock into the water. The next photograph I'm going to describe is a woman paddling a canoe, and there's a dog in the front of the canoe. An advocate for rescue dogs and the adopter of several animals herself, Borgo never passes up an opportunity to include a pup in her work. She snapped this memorable photo of her friend's dog, Rowdy, while paddling with a group on the Pemigewasset River. I'm going to spell the river for you. It's Pemigewasset River in New Hampshire's White Mountains. I just happened to have my camera ready when he turned back to me, says Borgo. His calm, curious expression captured what all of us felt as we floated down the river on that idyllic summer day. The next article is called Learning Potential. A dozen ideas for education vacations that let you bring home savvy instead of just souvenirs, by Courtney Hollins. There's nothing wrong with a summer vacation that simply leaves you with tan lines and ice cream fatigue. But what if you could walk away with fresh skills and a new or renewed passion for boat building, weaving, running, or sustainability? If that sounds like your kind of summer, check out these immersive New England trips that double as learning opportunities, most with room and board and relaxation to boot. The answer to the age-old question, what did you do this summer, is about to come so much cooler. 1. Go hog wild for birds on a Maine island. Bird-watching novices and fanatics alike will bliss out at Hog Island in Muskongus Bay, home to a rustic 90-year-old Audubon camp, and more than 200 bird species, including nesting puffins at nearby Eastern Egg Rock. Camps run from late May to mid-September, and while you can rack up bird sightings during a stay in this special place, it also provides a chance to disconnect, decompress, and really tune into nature that starts with the pontoon ride over from the mainland. Take the Mindful Birding Session for one, which features yoga, journaling, and forest bathing. Can't you just feel the stress winging away? 2. Find your way in the world of cheesemaking. What better place than Vermont, a small state with an outsized impact on the United States artisan cheese scene? To try crafting wheels and wedges, you'll be in good experienced hands in a workshop at Fat Sheep Farm and Cabins, winner of 3 2025 American Cheese Society Awards. Learn about different milks, equipment, and aging techniques as you help produce feta, gouda, or maybe a manchego style, depending on the workshop. And then collect tips and recipes to continue your terophile journey. Other educational opportunities on offer during its stay in one of the farm's 5 well-appointed cabins include sourdough bread classes, morning farm chores, and garden tours. 3. Dance a jig or sing folk ballads in the forest. In 1925, prominent philanthropist Helen Storrow, Boston Storrow Drive is named after her husband, James, built a pavilion and new cabins and hosted the English Folk Dance Society School on the 40 wooded acres she owned along Long Pond in Plymouth, Massachusetts. More than a century later, her Pine Woods Camp, now on the National Register of Historic Places, is still the site of joyful, nonprofit-run dance and music sessions June through early September. During a week-long or weekend stay in rustic cabins, you might try contra or folk dancing, pub singing, Scottish reeling, or tango, followed by a community-wide shindig beneath the stars in the evening. New this summer is the Country Dance and Song Society's SEA session, featuring songs in English and American dance inspired by the ocean. 4. Spin, knit, and weave in a historic textile town. The village of Harrisville, New Hampshire, named a National Historic Landmark in 1977, is among the best-preserved industrial communities in the country. Drawing on this centuries-old textile tradition, Harrisville designs, manufactures woolen yarns, wooden floor looms, and weaving kits for kids. You can put all these American-made products to good use in a multi-day spinning, knitting, or weaving workshop. The Beginning Weaving and Navajo Weaving series are popular, held in the Harrisville Design Studio. After class, students can retire to the circa 1853 Chesar Mills boarding house, with 6 bedrooms, shared bathrooms, and a communal kitchen. It's an economical and period-perfect stay. 5. Make your own skerry or weary. It's all about boats. All the time at the Wooden Boat School in Brooklyn, Maine, which began in 1981 as an extension of Wooden Boat magazine. While classes include construction fundamentals and core skills, of course you could also fashion your own vessel from a kit with expert instruction, the ultimate souvenir, or choose from more esoteric but equally nautical classes, such as naming and lettering boats and making a ship in a bottle. Sleep on campus in accommodations ranging from campsites and cabins to single and double rooms with shared bathrooms, and spend any downtime cruising around Agamogan Reach in a yawl, skiff, or sloop, just a few of the 30-plus handsome crafts in the school's fleet. Number 6, or learn to sail aboard an already built cutter-rigged sloop. Talk about jumping in the deep end. Sailors of all levels can sharpen their seafaring skills in a multi-day live-aboard cruise with Morse Alpha Expeditions of Rockland, Maine. Passengers up to 5 per expedition participate in the daily duties that keep the Rocinante, I'm going to spell the name of the boat, it's R-O-C-I-N-A-N-T-E, afloat. From cooking meals to changing sails, and learn about anchor techniques, knots, tides, and more, all while navigating heavily trafficked coastal Maine waters in unpredictable weather. At night, you'll sleep below deck in cozy bunks, unless it's your turn to keep watch, that is. Number 7. Fly fish a legendary river with Orvis endorsed pros. Abundant brown and brook trout coupled with majestic mountain scenery make the Battenkill River a true angler's paradise. Get up close and personal with this freestone waterway. Literally wade in it with a customizable stay-and-fish package at the Riverside Resort Hill Farm in Sunderland, Vermont. You can learn the basics in a private fly fishing lesson or up your cast and reel game with a half or full day excursion led by Orvis Manchester Fly Fishing School endorsed pros. And whether you catch anything or not, rest assured that river trout is often on the menu at the resort's restaurant. Number 8. Take up the gauntlet and try your hand at falconry. Did you know that a Harris hawk has rounded wings and hunts in groups? Or that they engage in a rare practice called backstanding, in which they perch atop each other? Don a glove, then handle, fly, and get to know these fascinating birds of prey in a New England falconry led class at Vermont's Woodstock Inn and Resort, which also offers an owl experience. Meet a barn owl, a burying wing owl, and a Eurasian eagle owl, oh my. And birding is just one of the inn's passion pursuit programs. Book golf and pickleball lessons, tours and tastings at the on-site Kelly Way Gardens, fly fishing excursions, and more. Number 9. Sample the ocean's bounty in a classic Maine fishing village. For a true taste of place, head to Phippsburg's West Point to join a half-day seafood adventure organized by Lady Oyster. First, company founder and oyster master, guild-certified specialist Virginia Schaefer leads a serious bivalve tasting. We're talking flavor wheels and slurping etiquette before breaking for lobster rolls made by Maine Oyster Company with meat from neighboring Small Point fisheries. The afternoon ends with a sunset cruise to an oyster farm, complete with shucking lessons, an aquaculture Q&A, and possible seal sightings. To make a weekend out of it, book the nearby Maine Oyster Company-owned Sowester Cottage. Hungry for more? Look for Lady Oyster's four-night seafood retreat coming in September. 10. Take your family back to the land, literally. Do more than unplug this summer. Families can slow things way down with a 3 or 5 day sustainability stay at Maine Local Living School in the tiny inland town of Temple. Choose from a long list of skill-building activities and lessons. Make fruit leather via solar food dehydration, sharpen tools, identify trees, and more. To create a personalized itinerary, which also includes time to swim, hike, and wild harvest food to cook over a fire. After all that, you'll appreciate the cozy sleeping accommodations in canvas-walled tents, thoughtfully stocked with kids' books and games, and flanked by a swing set and composting toilet. Make it an extended family affair if your siblings and their spouses and young'uns want to join. The school can accommodate multiple groups at once. 10. Go way beyond lanyards at a fine crafts camp. Repeat visitors call Snow Farm, the New England craft program, their happy place for a good reason. With four dorms and a kitchen serving farm-to-table meals, situated on a bucolic 50-acre refurbished dairy farm in Williamsburg, Massachusetts, it's the ideal setting to unleash your creative spirit. And whatever you're into, this crafty retreat likely has a course for it. From metalsmithing and paper marbling to ceramics and mobile making, the instructors are well-known working artists, and with small class sizes, 6 to 10 students, you'll get plenty of hands-on attention as you paint, sculpt, shape your masterpiece. 12. Take your running to new heights in the Green Mountains. Relive the camaraderie and calf stretches of high school cross country at Craftsbury Outdoor Center's adult running camps, each offering a week of intervals, cross training, coaching, and sweaty togetherness that culminates in the Sunrise Ridge Run. On this otherworldly 10-mile loop, you and your newfound running besties will chug up and down Vermont's rolling hills, past fields and forests, as the morning fog lifts from the valleys. And Craftsbury isn't kidding when it says, "We recover as hard as we run," in its campy festo. Non-cardio activities include massages, lake swims, even field trips, and naps are always encouraged. I'm now going to begin starting to read the articles about the best of New England. The best of New England eat. If you have an appetite for dining discoveries, they don't come any fresher than these. The Dandelion in Westport, Connecticut, with its vaulted ceiling, free-flowing indoor-outdoor dining area, and mostly Mediterranean menu, Dandelion is a welcome addition to Fairfield County's rich dining scene. Feast on such innovative delicacies as Moroccan cigars, which are local goat-preserved, lemon, lebni, and harissa, dandelion salad, wood-fired sea bream, and fig and almond cake, a tawny-colored guavarita with a jaunty lime is the favorite drink at Dandelion in Westport, Connecticut. Douro, D-O-U-R-O, in Portland, Maine. The Iberian Peninsula's coastal flavors and convivial spirit inspire every aspect of this newcomer on Portland's eastern promenade. Step through Mediterranean blue doors and find a seat at a communal table, like already loaded with platters of oysters and smoked mussels, copper cataplanus steaming with succulents, seafood stew, and spicy plates of piri-piri chicken. It's all about sharing and pairing. Pours of wine, port, sherry, and Madeira are offered in 5 sizes. The Café Monette in St. Albans City, Vermont. Though just a short drive from the Quebec border, the friendly burg of St. Albans didn't have much in the way of French cuisine until last summer. That's when culinary instructor Adam Monette teamed up with former students Henry Long and Tyler Como to open Café Monette, quickly winning over locals with classic bistro dishes such as poulet à la moutarde and onion tartare tatin. Monette, who won the Food Network's Holiday Baking Championship, also crafts superlative pastries, breads, and fresh pastas. Best of in New England places to stay. Check in and level up at the hottest properties on New England's hospitality scene. The Atlas Hotel in Boston. It's not every day that Boston's Allston neighborhood gets a shiny new tower in the form of a hotel to boot. Within its soaring 16 stories, the Atlas Hotel offers 246 eclectic guest rooms outfitted with mossy green textiles, leather seating, marble accents, and views in every direction. Contemporary art bedecks the lobby, which serves as a funky all-day lounge, while the team from Dorchester's acclaimed Comfort Kitchen is behind the on-site restaurant. Ama at the Atlas and the glitzy rooftop bar. The Lake Estate on Winnesquam in Tilton, New Hampshire. Though this posh 114-room property was built in 2025, its polished woods and dormered roofline reflect the timeless appeal of an Adirondack-style 19th-century resort. Lake region's attractions are close at hand, but you won't lack for on-site diversions. Book an apple and wildflower-scented body scrub, kayak on the rippling lake, or take a dip in the infinity pool. Celebrated chef Chris Viaud ensures that even small plates like short rib arancini are artfully composed using local ingredients. Camp DeForest in Lincolnville, Maine. Hold on to your clipboard because summer camp is back, with all of the phone-free magic of scavenger hunts and bonfires and all the comforts that 50s kids only dreamed of when they parked their trunks under their bunks. You'll be writing home about warm banana bread, 7 hot dog options, including elk dogs, indoor climbs when the weather's uncooperative, and nights at the tiki bar. Cabins are available year-round, but why kick the can until fall or winter? Best of New England places to play. Refreshed favorites and buzzy newcomers alike are just the ticket for fun, learning, and inspiration. The Hopkins Center for the Arts in Hanover, New Hampshire. A dramatic expansion unveiled last October has completely remade the experience of Dartmouth College's renowned Performing Arts Center, affectionately dubbed the Hop. The new 15,000-square-foot Daryl and Stephen Roth wing features a stunning glass-walled recital hall, a black box theater, and a dance studio, while the popular hangout, known as the Top of the Hop, has been beautifully redesigned, and the venerable Spalding Auditorium has received major acoustic and aesthetic upgrades. Echo, Leahy Center for Lake Champlain in Burlington, Vermont. Beneath the surface of Lake Champlain, entire dramas unfold among the bevy of native species navigating shipwrecks and competing with invasives such as zebra mussels and alewives. In July 2025, Burlington's Echo Center unveiled Into the Lake, an expanded 15,000-gallon freshwater habitat that brings visitors face to snout with sturgeon, long-nosed gar, muskalunge, and more. Elsewhere in the museum, another brand new exhibit explores the history behind Champ, Lake Champlain's legendary sea monster. Lost in New Haven, in New Haven, Connecticut. One man's trash is artist Robert Greenberg's treasure. His collection of nearly 100,000 items, from clocks and locks to building signs and concert tickets, tells the rich history of his hometown. Housed in a 25,000-square-foot converted warehouse, Greenberg's Cabinet of Curiosities includes a fascinating portrait of Yale University athletics told through such unexpected items as the pie tins that students tossed across the green in the 1920s, in a precursor to the Frisbee craze. Editor's Picks for Best in Massachusetts. Best Attractions. The Agritourism Spot. Boston Honey Company in Holliston. You can practically feel the buzzing at this family-owned bee farm and retail store, which houses honeybees by the millions in its on-site hives. That's not all that Boston Honey Company manages to pack into its 5 or so acres, though. This rather chic farm stand brims with the company's own hand-dipped beeswax candles, soaps, and skin creams, and raw honey with flavors of native plants like basswood and clethra. Meanwhile, an observation hive built into the shop's wall reminds visitors where all this bounty comes from. Further sweetening the deal, ice cream from Crescent Ridge and Sharon is scooped here from spring through fall. Best Antiques Mall, Harwich Antique Center in West Harwich. Whether you're a seasoned antiquer or a relative newcomer, you're guaranteed to discover a treasure at this beloved Route 28 destination. More than 20 dealers and countless consigners from across the Cape all contribute to the mind-boggling array of baseball cards, primitive furniture, cast iron cookware, maritime oddities, and vintage jewelries, among other goodies. There's no telling how much time you'll spend here, but one thing's for sure, you won't leave empty-handed. Food Festival, Chowderfest in New Bedford, Massachusetts. New England clam chowder is the undeniable star of this annual one-day fall festival, which has been bringing crowds to Pier 3 in New Bedford for 2 decades and counting. Restaurants from across the South Coast compete to take best chowder honors, voted on by visitors. The concoctions run the gamut from the traditional with its cream and clams to the Boulder Ciappino, a hearty Italian stew of spicy tomato broth and shellfish. Don't forget to leave room for the festival's signature Portuguese specialties, too. Free summer event, the Lowell Folk Festival in Lowell, Massachusetts. The last weekend of each July, the streets of Lowell fill with a musical melange of one of the longest-running free folk festivals in the United States. Experience performances as Quebec, I'm going to spell this because I don't know how to pronounce it. It's Quebecois fiddling, gospel, polka, fado, bluegrass, and flamenco, while also enjoying the lineup of colorful Caribbean parade dances that lend a rhythmic energy to downtown. Throughout the city's parks, food stalls sell pierogies, jerk beef, gyros, samosas, and much more. Dedicated spaces for kids and plenty of parking make this a perfect outing for families. Fun spot for grown-ups. Bose, B-O-S-S-E, Natick. The former Neiman Marcus space at the Natick Mall has been reimagined into a 100,000-square-foot lifestyle club aimed specifically at active adults. The gym and the golf simulators are great fun, but the real selling point is the collection of 21 pickleball courts spread out across two floors. Catch up with friends over a game or watch someone land a perfect dink while you kick back with a snack from the on-site cafe, the Italian restaurant, or sports bar. House Museum, Beauport, the Sleeper McCann House in Gloucester. Set overlooking Gloucester Harbor, Beauport was the summer home of interior design pioneer Henry Davis Sleeper. Built between 1907 and 1934, the property showcases Sleeper's penchant for reclaimed items and eclectic styling. Think a drawing room decorated with hand-painted Chinese wallpaper from the 1800s, which Sleeper discovered in a friend's attic. More eye-catching touches abound, such as an octagonal dining room, an illuminated display of amber glassware, and a 1700s-inspired kitchen built using period timber sourced from Sleeper's ancestral home. Be sure to stroll through the striking gardens, too. Tours are offered Wednesday through Saturday from late May through mid-October. Indie Music Store, Platypus Records in East Hampton. Owner David Whithouse considers himself more of a curator than a salesman, and once you've entered his East Hampton shop, you'll understand why. Whithouse's 40-plus years of musical knowledge are crammed into a wall-to-wall library of strictly used vinyl, CDs, and cassette tapes. In this one shop, you can purchase albums from genres that span the entire musical spectrum. Live recordings of the New York Philharmonic, got it? Rare B.B. King jam sessions, down that aisle. Whatever you're looking for, chances are Platypus Records has it, which is why one of the most reliably exciting shopping experiences in the Pioneer Valley. New cultural attractions. The Zeiterion in New Bedford. After nearly two-year, $37 million renovation that not only preserved much of its original 1923 theater building, but also added a new lounge and studio spaces, this beloved performing arts center made its applause-worthy reopening in early 2026. Set in the heart of downtown New Bedford, the Zeiterion hosts live concerts, comedy shows, dance performances, touring musicals, and Monday night classic movies. Even better, a new slate of performing arts classes and teen programming is set to ensure that the Zeiterion will continue to serve as a vibrant cultural hub for generations to come. One-of-a-kind pampering. Kilo Spa and Steam in Newton. Less than 10 miles from downtown Boston, in the cozy commuter town of Newton, Kilo Spa and Steam bills itself as your sanctuary in the city as it pulls out all the pampering stops with an experience that blends the sauna traditions of Ukraine and Finland. Starting with the Plaza treatment, where oak and birch leaves are gently tapped against your skin to encourage circulation, or baby your epidermis with a salt and honey glaze. Cap off your stint in this urban oasis with a glass of fresh-pressed juice. The Green Monster is an obvious hit in the comfortable lounge. Best breakfast spot. The Miss Worcester Diner in Worcester. Look past the decades worth of stickers plastered throughout the interior, and you can still make out the original features of this 1948 Worcester Lunch Car Company diner. Expect to see proprietor Kim Nitzgern slinging hash while one of the servers refills mugs with steaming hot coffee at lightning speed. Naturally, omelets and pancakes are menu mainstays, but don't look past the Miss Worcester original known as the crunchy French toast dipped in honey bunches of oats cereal and deep fried. Best burger. Little Sister in Rockport. The goal of husband and wife duo Josh and Ariel Smith was to bring a memorable burger experience to Rockport Harbor, and the loaded menu at their restaurant venture certainly delivers. The long summer lines provide plenty of time to choose between the Little Sis burger, adorned with American cheese, grilled onions, pickles, pickled peppers, and garlic aioli, or the Big Brother, a double beef patty combination with bacon crumbles, tomato, jalapeno, and jalapeno bacon spread. Ambitious types can build their own creations, while extra hungry diners can add a Larry Bird fried chicken sandwich to their order. Best cocktail bar. Lady Slipper in Provincetown. Walking down Commercial Street, it's impossible to miss this bright red ice cream parlor turned hottest new cocktail bar in P-Town. Pink walls and stamped tin ceilings augment the cheeky vibe, which carries through to the We Made It These Up drinks menu filled with original creations like the Queen of Mayhem, an herby concoction of gin, cucumber, celery, lime, and cilantro. Pair your cocktail of choice with a just happens to be vegan but still slaps pâté. The sweet meringue, trifle, and lots of good company. You'll be having so much fun that closing time will come too soon. Best coffee shop. Shelburne Falls Coffee Roasters at multiple locations. Founders Kathy Little and Curtis Rich planted their roots in Shelburne with this small roastery, bakery, cafe along the Mohawk Trail in 1991, and it's since grown into a Western Massachusetts mini chain, and a true family affair too, with daughter and general manager Annabelle serving up hand-blended coffees, espresso, chai, and seasonal lattes at the Shelburne headquarters. Local flavor abounds in the lineup of egg sandwiches named after surrounding towns. For our money, you can't go wrong with the signature Shelburne Falls, a combo of eggs, prosciutto, brie, tomato, and pesto. Pair it with a cup of First Light, the roastery's bold and fruity signature blend, and you've got a perfect start to the day. Best distillery. Forager Distillery at Greylock Works in North Adams. Master distiller Ryan Max Riley sources his inspiration and a lot of his ingredients from the hills surrounding his Forager brand distillery inside the Greylock Works creative space. From Riley's hammered Spanish copper still emerges a line of handmade gins, rums, and bottled cocktails. Pick up a bottle to take home or sit and enjoy an original cocktail from a menu inspired by the Massachusetts landscape. The Blackberry Bramble spiced rum cocktail is like a virtual walk in the Berkshire woods, while the Nantucket, a briny martini made with oyster and seaweed-infused gin, invites dreams of island life. Best Italian, Vuolo's in Winthrop. When the walls are lined with family photographs and the aromas of garlic, tomatoes, and basil are wafting from the kitchen, It's hard not to feel as though you've stepped right into Nana's house. And that's exactly how the LaMonica clan wants you to feel. Whether you're being greeted by Matriarch Lisa at the front of the house, sipping on a Vuolo's original cocktail mixed by son Joe, or savoring the lobster ravioli whipped up by executive chef Stephen, yes, another son, you'll be glad you ventured out into Winthrop's tucked away peninsula to join the family. Best new restaurant, Luna Mare in Ipswich. Having already made a splash on the North Shore with his longtime restaurant, Itaki, Greek-born chef-owner Petros Markoupoulos now brings his signature flair to the offerings at Luna Mare, a Mediterranean fusion eatery with an emphasis on tapas. Markoupoulos' take on fried clams, for instance, comes with green apple coleslaw, harissa oil, and brioche bread. The cod cheeks are served with lemon, olive oil, and skordalia, a Greek dip made of garlic, bread, and potatoes. Beyond Luna Mare's seafood delights, the house-made fries pair perfectly with a Wagyu smash burger topped with bacon jam and caramelized onions. Best pizza. Chow Pizza and Pasta in Chelsea. Led by co-owners Edson Coimbra and Marvin Posada, what started as a mission to feed the local community has evolved into the hottest Italian comfort food spot around. Classicists will love the bubbling hot pizza margherita or the spaghetti carbonara. The adventurous might try specials like a spicy sausage pie with squash puree and shallots. And no one can say ciao to ciao before trying the Nutella pizza, topped with strawberries, bananas, and mascarpone cheese. Best restaurant with a view. Sunset Club in Newbury. Making the drive out to Plum Island is a small price to pay for the chance to settle into an open-air ocean view table and watch the sky dissolve into majestic evening colors to the soundtrack of lapping waves and keening gulls. Of course, executive chef Michael Dyer's menu of top-notch bar fare, burgers, tacos, sandwiches, makes the whole thing even better. For our money, there is no finer setup for a laid-back seaside repast, especially with a potent Sunset Club daiquiri close at hand. This reading of Yankee Magazine has been a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org. Or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm Naomi. Thank you for listening.
Listen to Audio Journal on your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play radio station Audio Journal on TuneIn. Or, hey Google, play radio station Audio Journal on TuneIn.
Welcome to Everyday Poems for Every Day, sponsored by Audio Journal. Our poem today is The End by A.A. Milne. When I was one, I had just begun. When I was two, I was nearly new. When I was three, I was hardly me. When I was four, I was not much more. When I was five, I was just alive. But now I am six. I'm as clever as clever. So I think I'll be six now, forever and ever. You've been listening to Everyday Poems for Every Day, sponsored by Audio Journal and read by me, Nikki Whichello. Thanks for listening. May your life be filled with poetic wonder.